You would like to turn with me there. And we're going to conclude this morning the series of messages that we began a couple of weeks ago entitled Faith for Healing. How many are in one of the predominant themes or steady themes throughout our service today has been that of grace. And how many are thankful for God's grace in your life, the grace of His forgiveness? And there is also the grace of healing. But everything that we receive by God must be received by faith. And as I've mentioned before, I am not God's apologist, but I will say this, God is sovereign. And we don't command God as far as healing, but we can seek God for healing and may His will be done. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and being people who have been called to live by faith, both the Old and the New Testament teaches us that we're the just or the righteous or the redeemed or those who have accepted Christ as their Savior are to live by faith. And also Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we are to receive healing in our bodies, we must believe that God can heal. God is sovereign. But doubt can hinder the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit in your life regarding anything. So it's important that we live in faith. But some aspects of faith become difficult after we accept Jesus as our Savior. We've been looking at some illustrations in Scripture of people getting healed. And Jesus responding to those people, the thing in their lives that opened the door to God's power. Not that God can't do anything. God can do anything. In fact, we have seen some instances where people were healed who didn't even demonstrate any faith. The man at the gate, beautiful. There's nothing that hinders the power of God. But in many instances in the New Testament, as the Lord Jesus Christ delivered and healed, but He also preached the kingdom, it was never absent. He would make the remark, "Your faith has made you whole." Or the one man who had a sick servant, he says, "I'm a man of authority. If you say go, I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come, and he comes. If you just say the word, my servant will be healed." The Bible says Jesus marveled and said, "I have not seen such great faith even in the household or the nation of Israel." Faith is important, and the responsibility of you and I living by faith grows after we accept Christ as our Savior, but it's still something that we wrestle with. So in the past few weeks, we've been looking at some of these instances of healing. We looked at the woman, the hemorrhaging woman, or the woman with the issue of blood who reached it. She knew if she could just touch the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, she would be healed. And she was instantaneously. Despite her weakness, despite her uncleanness, and we talked at length about that, God healed her. And we made reference to our text this morning. We'll be talking a little bit more about it. But again, faith is essential in receiving anything and everything from God. And I don't mean to put burdens on people. And I would never say to someone who comes forward for prayer or is seeking God for healing that, you know, you just don't have enough faith. That's between you and God. It's something that we must consider. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Scripture reads, and getting into a boat, he, speaking of Jesus, crossed over and came into his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for your healing power, for your saving power, your delivering power, your love, mercy, and grace. We thank you for your word. And once again, as we look to your word, we pray for the anointing and for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We pray through your word you would speak to our hearts today, O God. That our faith would increase, O God. That our testimony, Lord, would become more defined, more powerful, Lord Jesus. And that we might be drawn closer to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In looking at these examples that we've been talking about, just to recap very briefly where we've been, we've seen that faith isn't just believing God in your heart. Faith, the book of James tells us that faith without works is dead. Faith in action means that when we have a need, we pursue God. How many realize this morning that God, part of our worship before the Lord Jesus Christ, or of the Lord Jesus Christ, is giving Him our needs? The Bible says, "Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you." And when we hold our needs, we're withholding actually part of our worship from God. And so pursuing God is an important aspect of healing or receiving anything from God. But faith, it's not only a heart thing, it's also a mental thing. We need a certain level of understanding. Some of the things that we've discussed is we need to understand that God is holy. So that when we come to God in a humble state. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. But we also see that God, and we have seen as we've looked at these illustrations, the woman with the issue of blood, and now this man being dropped, the paralytic man being dropped through the roof. That God is a God of love and forgiveness. God is a God of acceptance, and we talked about this at length last week, that our sin, the things we struggle with, and there are times we can't get over our sin because of our weakness. Don't let it keep you from pursuing God, from pursuing more of God in your life and pursuing healing in your life should you need it. Because when we encounter God, we encounter His love. And at that moment, hallelujah, not only do we find His forgiveness, but we find that essential thing that is necessary to overcome our sin, and that's the power of God. Maybe I'm just talking about myself this morning, but I can't overcome my old nature by myself. I need His help. I needed His help before I came to Christ, and I still need His help today to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans Chapter 8. Praise God. We also have seen how there needs to be an understanding. And God is love tells us that we can be bold and pursue God. Amen. But there needs to be an understanding that God is powerful. So we should be expectant to receive something when we pursue an encounter with God. And remember, our focus. Whether we need healing or anything else, we're not to seek the healing per se or a healer. We find deliverance, we find power, we find strength. We find God when we pursue Him. When we encounter Jesus and in the fullness of His presence, although we don't see Him face to face, we can see Him through a glass darkly or a dim mirror. Our lives are changed, and in every way. A couple other brief points I'd like to share with you before we return to our text this morning. Another aspect of faith that is very important is we must understand that our faith needs to be persistent. Scripture I'm going to share a little bit later, but I feel I should share with you now is from the book of Isaiah, very common scripture, chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, which reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." God, in His infinite wisdom, power, and according to His sovereign will, has His own ways of doing things that don't necessarily line up with our own. One word we could substitute in there, I think correctly, not as far as a translation, but for discussion purposes, is that of timing. "For my timing is not your timing, declares the Lord." When do we want... Was it an old high school cheer just kind of popped into my mind? What do we want? Touchdown. Remember that? Anyone remember that? When do we want it? Right now. As long as your team's on offense. And such it is when we're pursuing God. We want what we want when we want it. In fact, especially when you're sick and you're in pain, you can't wait to have God come and do some kind of deliverance in your life. Sometimes the answer of God is not yet. Sometimes, we could have a long discussion on this perhaps another time. But the moving of God in our life is delayed. But just because God is delayed for His good purposes in healing or doing some other act of deliverance in our lives doesn't give us the excuse to give up on faith. And we prove our faith in waiting, which part of perfect faith is the P word. It's not a four-letter word, but we treat it as such. Excuse me for putting it that way. The word patience. Being able to wait. And the way we, in a godly way, amongst other ways, demonstrate patience is by continuing to bring our requests to God. How much? Day and night. I know we're focusing on healing, but what do you struggle with on your heart? You know, last week we had a prophetic word about salvation in your household. Bible says in the book of I believe Luke, I don't have it in my notes, so please don't forgive me. But God speaks about His return and about His avenging those who have been slain for the cause of Christ. And Jesus' response, it goes something like this: "Shall not God surely avenge those who cry out to Him day and night?" I just started reading the book of Exodus in my daily Bible study. For years, the children of Israel, who were under very harsh treatment, harsh conditions, slavery and bondage, cried out to God. But year after year after year, seemingly their cries were not answered. But God never stopped hearing, and the answer never stopped coming. It just took, for various reasons, the fullness of time for that deliverance to come. Luke chapter 11, which is a great chapter of prayer, gives us an illustration of persistence and patience in prayer and knocking at the door of heaven when you have a need. And he concludes the illustration of the man coming to his friend in the middle of the night for bread and continuously knocking until finally the man gets out of his bed and gives him bread, with these two verses, 9 and 10. I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. In context, what that scripture is saying is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on praying, keep on knocking until God, however, whichever way He works, however He delivers, either through miraculous healing or supernatural grace, until He answers. Don't give up. You'll not only please God, but in many ways you'll display God's glory in your life, both in this world and the world to come. There's also a story later on in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, about a group of men who are lepers who met Jesus. And because they were lepers, they stayed away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and they cried out to Jesus. Scripture says in verse 13, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. To this leper, this one man, this Samaritan, he was the only one. He made this classic comment that we've been examining in these series of messages. Your faith has made you whole. Not to the other 9, and part of the reason was they weren't there. They were healed, they were touched by God, and they went on their merry way. But this one man had the conviction to return to God and give Him thanks, to display gratitude for what the Lord Jesus Christ had done in his life. Which shows us that faith, the demonstration of faith, believing God to work and move in our lives, in this case, healing, doesn't end after we're healed. Oh, I'm healed. Great. I can get on with the rest of my life. Made complete when we demonstrate a lifestyle of gratitude. We continue to thank God. We give God the glory for what He has done. We never forget. And there's two blessings to that. Number one, in giving honor and glory to God, we fulfill His divine purpose in our life to give Him glory and also to be a witness and a testimony. But when we live in that attitude of gratitude, and forgive that, I hate using those types of things, but it does help you remember. We live in that attitude of thanksgiving where we never forget. And God help us. And I don't always do it, and I should do it more often than I do. Have some type of prayer journal where we write down the breakthroughs that God gives in our lives, gives to us. When we do that, the next challenge that comes Shall we not have more faith? I got through that. I don't like this. I don't want to go through this, but God got me through cancer. Or God got me through my marital problems. Or God got me through my financial situation, and God will surely get me through this. But going back to our main text this morning, there's one additional thing that we need to discuss regarding sin and the nature of God and the effect of sin on the moving of God's grace on our lives. If you remember initially when we began this series, there are two hindrances to us receiving from God. Again, and something we all struggle with, and I don't mean to put anyone under condemnation, but it is listed in Scripture, and we looked at a number of Scriptures, Psalm 51, I think, being critical, how sin puts a cloud or a shield between us and God, and we can't see Him as we should. And in our opening Scripture this morning, the story of the man who was dropped through the ceiling in order to be healed in his body. When Jesus sees him, Scripture says in verse 2 of Matthew 8, He said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." There wasn't, and we're not sure what was going through his mind, but it definitely was not the mindset or the desire of those friends who were dropping that man down. Now, I'm not saying they weren't happy about that. I am sure that they were. But just in my own thinking, as they're dropping this man down, they had worked so hard, and as you know, the story went, they're bringing this lame man to this house. It is packed full. And they are so full of faith, they will not be denied. So if we can't go through the front door, we're going to go through the ceiling. And there isn't a trap door, we're going to make one. And that's exactly what they did. I don't think if I owned that house, I would have been too happy with them, but I'm sure they fixed it afterwards. And here they drop this man down, and there's this great expectation that they would be healed. And Jesus even notes their faith. You know, we could actually talk a lot about this. You know, when you know someone who can't, it doesn't have faith for what they're going through, let's believe God with them and for them. Amen? And Jesus says, "Your sins I take away," or "Your sins are forgiven," which shows us that faith and all the other things that we understand about God, faith understands, everything else that we need to understand if we're truly be people of faith and live in faith is that faith understands the redemptive nature of God. What is God all about? What is the cross all about? What is the elements of communion all about? It's about God reaching out to man so that we can be reconciled with Him, or redemption. We can be bought back. The goal to us receiving anything from God is encountering Him. But whenever we encounter God, we need to understand that not only can we encounter God despite our sin, you know, the sins that we know in our lives, but we also need to be aware that when we encounter God, He may want to deal with the sins that either we're not fully aware of, or we're not ready yet, or don't want God to deal with. I mentioned one last week, but I'm going to mention two to you this week. There are two reasons, I believe, why many people really don't pursue God for touching their lives. And again, it's pursuing Jesus. Because we know when we pursue God, you know, God is love. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, God is light. And so He exposes things. And we don't do this. We don't want to come to the altar, either this one or our altar at home, and really, really seek God. God, come into my life. Heal me, move me. Because we're afraid of what God might show us. I don't want God to shine the light of His truth in my heart. I'm afraid of what He might find. Some people are afraid of their own human nature, and rightly so. And I'm speaking purely of myself this morning. There are things about me that are not only unlovely, they're evil, they're wicked. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, or Galatians, excuse me, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And that was present tense. The apostle. So we don't approach God because we know God's going to shine that light. And wait a minute. You know, His ways, we read that scripture earlier, Isaiah 55. His ways are not our ways. And what this story of the paralytic man coming down shows us, His priorities are not our priorities. We have what we want God to do, but God has a greater priority, and the most important priority that there is, and that is our eternal soul. So we might be afraid of what God might reveal, or we know what's hidden in the dungeons of our hearts, so to speak, and we like what's down there. There are things we don't want to give up, but we know when we meet God and we have that encounter with His power and His presence, He's going to give us the tap on the shoulder. Not with the club. Isn't it great to know that God is a God of love and that when He deals with us is for a sin, it's conviction, not condemnation. What are you doing here, you filthy? You know, I think two things happen when we encounter the presence of God. Simultaneously, we feel convicted over our sins. We also feel the love. You know, it's hard. And I was trying to go through it in my mind last few weeks and trying to communicate it. But, you know, simultaneously, those two things. Conviction. Oh, I'm so unworthy. In fact, Isaiah chapter 6 gives us a good example of that. When Isaiah had that vision of God, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Oh, I'm so unworthy." And then as soon as he comes to that place of realization, an angel comes, symbolic of the cleansing fire. You know, whenever we think of judgment, think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A coal comes, and he takes that coal, and he puts it on the lips of Isaiah. And his lips and his heart are purged. And those feelings of woeful, of sin and inadequacy and filthiness are immediately swept away. And that's what happens when we encounter the presence of God. But it stops short when there are things that we know God's going to, "Hey, Randy, glad you're here, but you know this is something that's hindering your walk with me. You know it's something that's becoming between you and me. I want to take it out. Oh, but God, I love it so much. I'm not ready. I will next year. I know enough about the sin nature because I wrestle with it all the time. To know that those next year things, next year never comes. It's always next year or next month or next week. But bless God. And we despite, and listen, this is what we need to do. Even though we know that we have a confrontation with Jesus, He's going to shine His light upon every corridor of our lives. And listen, God, He's not going to convict you of something you're not ready to deal with. Amen? I got stuff, Raylene will probably tell you, that I need to get set free from. But I'm just not there yet. I don't quite know about him yet. I probably do way down in the subconscious. But God knows, you know, when the timing is. We can't let that keep us from seeking God. We've got to deny ourselves. And just lay that all aside. And even though we know there is going to be that instant of pain because cleansing is painful. We know that's where the imagery we're given in Scripture. You're basically putting your flesh to death. I don't know about you, but my physical flesh, if you try to kill it, there will be some pain involved. And so it is spiritually when the old nature is, as God tries to strip away more of that old nature or that flesh from us. Don't kid yourself. It's a painful process, but it is so worth it. Two wonderful things happen. Two pleasing results, if you would. The most important of which is we get greater victory over our old nature. When we come to God and God in His wisdom shines His light on those areas of our heart that need to be changed, and we give it to the Lord Jesus Christ and we're cleansed. You know, we talked about this last week. Just like those known sins that we're struggling with and we want to get over, those, you know, those unknown sins or those secret sins we want to keep. Listen, you encounter God, you're not going to want to keep them anymore. I'm not saying you might not wrestle with it and be tempted to go back, but let me tell you, when you behold Jesus through that glass darkly, all you want is more of Him and everything makes sense. In fact, that's the greater miracle, according to Jesus in our story. And you know why it's greater? Two reasons. Number one, it's greater because God is doing a work on our eternal soul. What happens in our body? Wonderful here. Amen? I thank God for healing my body. But let me tell you, the healing of my body is nothing compared to the healing of my, or the salvation of my soul. What God does on the inside with His scalpel called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is something that lasts for eternity. Painful, but for a moment. Something that lasts for eternity. Secondly, it's also greater because it requires our participation. God is not going to make you do anything. That's not who He is. That's not part of His nature. And the second pleasing result is not that God just does that wonderful, awesome thing. But then the rest is easy. Amen? Whatever then God wants to do, bless God. There are no hindrances, including that hindrance of sin. And dare I say, sometimes God afflicts us or allows affliction to come into our lives or afflicts us through circumstances, allows those things to come into our lives. So we can do some spiritual surgery on our soul. Not every situation, please don't get me wrong. We're sick because we are human beings. And we live in bodies that grow old and decay. We live in a fallen world that will someday be redeemed but has not yet been. So we cannot make blanket statements regarding that. But God loves us so much that He will let anything happen to us as long as it will benefit our eternal souls. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. You know, I've met a lot of people who are reluctant to go to the doctor. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but anyone know anyone like that? I'm sure all of us do. And if you don't know someone, I'm sure you do know that. In fact, there's probably a lot of people who are very reluctant to go to the doctor. In fact, those type of people, you know something serious is going on when they ask to go to the doctor because they just don't go. And I have found with some people there's a reason why they're reluctant to go to the doctor when they're sick, and that's because they're afraid of what they might find. Could it be cancer? Could it be lupus? Could it be something like that? That attitude sometimes can be on our lives as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I want more of God, or I need God to heal, or I need to come to God for God to do a work in my family. But I'm afraid of what God might find. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. And yes, there are times that we get convicted of serving Jesus, but let me tell you, that conviction is so overwhelmed by the love of God. And if you put aside your fear, and let me tell you what faith is. Faith is not having fear. You will have, in fact, if you don't have fear, in a way it's not really faith, because you're not afraid. Faith is actually moving forward in spite of your fear. It's normal to be fearful. We'll be put in fearful situations. That's how our faith will grow. And, life is tough. And it isn't heaven. It isn't what God intended to be. But someday it will be. Put aside your fear of what you might find when you approach God. Put away your fear of God. He loves you. His whole heart for you, just like that man who was brought down through the roof, is that of redemption. I want to renew. I want to strengthen my relationship with you. I want you to experience more grace in your life. I want you to experience more of my power in your life. So whatever that is, I just want you to give it to me right now. And as you do, as you encounter God, you just take it away. It's so easy. It's so easy when we're in God's presence. Everything is easy. And so this morning, I'm going to ask Brother Charlie if you would come, and some of our other elders if you would come. We're going to open of the altar, the front here in the middle, for people who need prayer. We're talking about healing. We need to practice that. We're also going to open the front, or if you'd like to stay where you're seated this morning, for those who've just been afraid of approaching God's presence. That's the way they were in the Old Testament. They were afraid that, Moses was the only one who went up on the mountain of God, and no one else did. If they did, they would have died. They didn't want to anyways because they were afraid. We don't have to be afraid anymore. Amen? The veil has been rent. Maybe we should have talked about that in communion. Amen? We can boldly come to the throne of grace. Approach God now. Experience, yes, His holiness, but His redemption. In fact, that's what redemption is. Understanding the holiness and the love of God together, and receiving His forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Come as we sing. Let's stand as our worship team leads us.